Liar, liar, pants on fire. We don't know exactly where that expression came from, but we do know that a lot of people lie. From a very early age, people learn to lie. Those who like statistics have come up with some stats as far as lying. If you look at some of the key stats here, 10, an average person, it is believed, lies 1 to 2 times per day. 60% of people lie at least once if they have a 10-minute conversation. Men lie on average 6 times per day. Women half that amount, 3 times per day on average. 40% of people are believed to lie on their resumes. 90% of people are believed to lie when it comes to online dating profiles. 80% of females admit to lying to their partner about spending habits. 50% of teenagers admit to lying to their parents about their whereabouts. People are more likely to lie over the phone than face-to-face. 81% of people lie about their height, their weight, or their age when it comes to online activity. Politicians lie on average once every 5 minutes during a debate. Now you might think, well, these are perhaps some common things that we do see in life. Why do people lie? If it is this popular, what are some of the reasons? What's the basis for it? Well, people have also tried to come up with some percentages and statistics here. Most people fear punishment, 27%. They're the people they want to protect themselves or protect someone else from harm, 23%. To avoid shame or embarrassment, 20%. To gain power or advantage over others, 14%. And some people have a habit or compulsion. If you listen to the scripture reading, you heard a lie. King Saul, a leader, lied. Saul told David, if you will be a mighty warrior for me, I will give you my daughter to be your wife. Well, of course, David did do that, but Saul's daughter was married to another man. In the previous slide, we just saw how politicians, at least when it comes to a debate, lie every 5 minutes. It's been said that politicians lie, whatever party they're from, lie every time they open their mouths. In the area of politics, it seems like lying has become more of a virtue than a vice. And when leaders lie, it's upsetting. It's especially perhaps distressing to Christians, and that's not surprising. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 5, the wise men said, a righteous man hates lying. Well, so does God. We'll see that a little bit later. But when you think about politicians, righteous people, when they hear those untruths, when they hear those fabrications, it upsets them. Politicians may feel like they're somehow justified in their lies. Maybe they feel that that's what their constituents need to hear, but they biblically do not get an exemption. Politicians and lies are natural companions in many ways, and there is a practical point when we think about politicians and lies. When you tie those two things together, you find that there are some lies which are outside our ability to, number one, either control, or number two, they are outside our ability to punish. And that's okay. It's okay because God says, vengeance belongs to me, I will recompense. When we can't deal with something for whatever reason, God says, I have it under control. If we don't like a politician who lies, we are obviously, at least in this country, have the ability to vote against that person. But ultimately, there are going to be some things, some sins, some wrongs, which must be left up to God. In this study, I want to focus on lies which are, I guess, close to us, lies which would more or less come from the family. And we're going to go back to the Old Testament to begin in Genesis chapter 27. Now, that passage may not ring a bell with you immediately, but it is at this time in life that Isaac was an old man. Isaac had reached the point in time where it was time to bless a son, and he intended to bless his oldest son, Esau. You may remember that Isaac was married. His wife was named Rebekah, and Rebekah hatched a plan. She decided that it was going to be the better choice to bless Jacob instead. Well, several things unfold. Isaac becomes a little suspicious when it's time to bless the son. And when we get to Genesis 27 and verse 24, we have Isaac saying, art thou my very son Esau? He wants to double check. Some things seem off. Some things don't seem quite right. So he asks, and then the son says, I am. Well, that, of course, was a lie. Jacob lied to his dad. He impersonated his brother Esau, and he received the family blessing. It's been said that kids learn to lie between the ages of 2 to 4. For some, that becomes a lifelong habit. Sometimes children make statements, which maybe they are a lie, or maybe they're just a statement that the child has not thought about very well. You've probably gone through this if you're a parent. If we can only get a dog, I'll take care of it. Ever hear that? Well, maybe that was a lie. Maybe that was simply a child who had a little too much enthusiasm and promised, overpromised. You have similar statements. If you will let me do this, I will never ask for anything else. Again, from a child's heart, maybe that wasn't really intended to be a lie, but it was definitely an overstatement. But when it comes to things like school grades, that can be in a far different category. It can be a lie. Children have sometimes lied when it comes to money. money is requested for something like books. We need some books, or I need this tool, or I need this at school, and then, of course, the item was never bought. Or it might be if you have raised children or are raising children, you may have had an altercation at school or somewhere else, a fight. And the report from the child was, your son, your daughter said, it was not me, it was him. And that turned out not to be correct. Children have lied to parents about being sick and needing to stay home from school. Kids have sometimes played one parent against the other. They've said, well, the other parent said, mom said, dad said. Well, okay, if mom or dad said it, it must be all right. Kids have assured parents that a gathering was going to be properly chaperoned when that was not the case. Young people have lied about eating food, which was packed by mom or dad. Lies have been told when it comes to driving. I'll drive safely. I'll drive slowly. I'll drive carefully. No texting. Maybe all those things were lies. After a vehicle was damaged, perhaps through carelessness. Well, I don't know how that happened. Lies have been told when it comes to dating. Oh, he's not my boyfriend. He's not my girlfriend. She's not my girlfriend. All kinds of lies. Lies about in the area of communication. I never saw, I never got the text. The Bible tells us that children and lies do sometimes go together. The Bible, as we look at Scripture, also tells us that husbands and wives can also lie. Do you remember this little story from the account when it goes back to Genesis chapter 39 and Potiphar's wife? And she, that would be Potiphar's wife, spake unto him, her husband, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. Well, that was a lie. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment by me and fled out. Wives have lied to their husbands, and husbands have lied to their wives. Now, sometimes a spouse will reason, well, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. What she don't know is not going to hurt her. Or some people have taken this tack. They have said, he will forgive me, or she will forgive me, but we're talking about wives, so we'll focus on them for a little bit. He will forgive me, so it's okay. Or maybe I'm protecting his feelings. Or little white lies don't count. Or if he doesn't ask, it doesn't count. Others include, I'm fine. Nothing's wrong. I'm not hungry. Lies told by wives. I just love the gift. I'll be ready in 5 minutes. I don't mind you going out with your friends. No, these clothes are old versus new. I just need one thing from the store. Children lie. Wives lie. And husbands are also guilty. Let's take a look at some of the things they say. I like spending time with your family. Everything in our marriage is fine. Oh, I'm not upset you bought it. I just want you to be happy. Got delayed at the office. Don't know anything about it. Husbands have sometimes been asked by a wife, what do you think of this? And this? And this? And after about the fifth set of shoes, the husband says, I like that one. It's good. Husbands have been known to say that they like all their wife's friends, when that's not true. Others wanting to simply get out of the house. I need to go to the grocery store. Even when it comes to directions, no, I'm not lost. Husbands may lie. There's an interesting passage from the book of Psalms which talks about lies. Psalm 5:9. For there is no truth in their mouth, their innermost self is destruction. The throat is an open grave, they flatter with their tongue. Now, if you were to look at a paraphrase, you would find perhaps something like this. For they cannot speak one truthful word, their hearts are filled to the brim with wickedness. Lying is a real problem in the world, and it is a temptation for all of us. Sometimes as we think about lying, we can put it on a sliding scale. I heard from a wife recently, in fact, just a few days ago, and she's not from here. She said, well, as I communicate with my husband, she said, I sometimes just leave stuff out. Now, she wouldn't come out and admit that she outright lied to him, but that was the gist of it. People can withhold truth up to a point where they feel like they are not telling a lie, but in reality, it is a lie. Lying is the opposite of truth. Now, we're not obligated to tell everything that we know. Even Jesus didn't do that. Not being truthful, though, was a sin. And when people lie, they do undermine moral standards, and they do undermine credibility. Notice what's said in the book of Proverbs, chapter 25 and verse 18. A man who bears false witness against his neighbor, that of course would be a lie. He said that person is like a club. That person is like a sword and a sharp arrow. That person is like a deadly firearm. The writer was saying that lies are like dangerous weapons, and dangerous weapons which are used, dangerous weapons which inflict great damage. Lies have cost some people their lives. Lives have broken up some marriage. Lives have ruined many childhoods. If we begin to look at lying in the scripture, and it may not be the subject that's covered the most compared to some other things, but we do have some powerful illustrations, especially at the start of the Bible. Back in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, we have the serpent speaking to the woman. And the serpent, through the influence of the devil, said, "You shall not surely die." The devil communicated a lie to Eve. God had told the first couple that if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. You're going to perish. Now, there is some discussion as far as what it means to die. Did the statement about death mean immediate death, or did it mean that you're going to die at a later time? It could be, and I think that the Hebrew probably bears this out, that the devil appears to have been partly truthful. That is, God said you're going to die, and Satan's point was you're not going to immediately die. Even if the devil mixed some truth with a lie, we still have a great point of application. Satan left out some important stuff. He left out some critical information that he should not have withheld if he were going to be truthful on this occasion. Some lies are a total distortion of facts. Other lies may simply exist because a person withholds information. Assuming that this was the first time that the devil tried to ensnare the couple with sin, I don't think we can prove that conclusively, but that does seem likely. Is not Satan's strategy on this particular occasion interesting? Out of all the ways that Satan could have used some form of evil to go after Adam and Eve, out of all the temptations that he could have proposed, this is the one that he chooses. He chooses a lie. Well, that's not surprising because Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44 that Satan is the father of lies. Lies flow from this creature. Some have said that Satan has, as far as his native language, lies. And that's true. Satan is a master of lies. He's got a whole closet full of half-truths as well as outright lies. Satan's lies include sometimes some things related to sin. Sin is fun instead of problematic. Sin is not bad. It is not deadly. And then after a person gets caught up in sin, the lies continue. The devil lets people think that they cannot be forgiven, that they have no hope, that there is no way forward as far as redemption. Perhaps makes them think that there is no God and that the Bible cannot be trusted. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 that Satan is a deceiver. He is a liar in every sense of the word. When we think about being tempted by lies, one of the things that can help us is to remember how Satan is described. And remember that if we fall for that temptation, if we succumb to the lie, if we decide to give in, even though it may be such a small lie, a minuscule lie, we're actually engaging in devilish behavior. It's been said, and I agree with this statement, that there is no sin which makes us more like the devil than lying. The next time that you're tempted to lie, think about that. There is no sin which will make us more like the devil than lying. One incentive to tell the truth is to realize that we're acting more like the devil than Christ. The next time that we're tempted to lie, think about the fact that we are following truly the father of all lies. When we become a Christian, some things are supposed to change. One of those things involves lying. Paul, as he wrote to the Ephesians, put it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. He said, "Therefore, drawing a conclusion, put away lying." His command, his instruction to these Christians was, you simply need to stop this behavior. That's not how Christians live. Then when he wrote to the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, he repeated that point. When we think about lies, we may often focus on what we say, and probably that's going to be the majority of lies. But have we ever considered the fact that when we think about lying, especially from the standpoint of how awful it is in the sight of God, that it's also possible to live a lie? There would be some people who would perhaps say, "I rarely lie. I mean, it's just not a temptation for me. I've grown up as far as someone living a life accustomed to telling the truth. That's my general way to live, as far as speaking the truth and not telling fabrications. That's great." But what if we live a lie? It's possible to live a lie. We know that because of what John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15. He said, "Whosoever," talking about Christians, "any Christian that hates his brother is a murderer." John said, if we profess to be a child of God, if we say that we are trying to follow the pattern that God has given, and we do things which are contrary to that pattern, we live in the very opposite way. In this particular case, love and the lack thereof for a brother, we're guilty of murder. Well, you have a similar principle when it comes true, when it comes to lying. If we say that we are this and we're not really that, then we are a liar. If we don't tell lies, we can live as a liar. And that is just as bad, if not worse. You see, when it comes to this particular aspect of lying, we can say that we love God. I've met a lot of people over the years, most of whom are not members of the church, and they say, I love God. Had a neighbor out walking this morning, and the next door neighbor has professed, even publicly online, a great love for Jesus Christ. And yet when it comes time for worship, where do we see her? Out taking a walk with a dog. And at least in my mind, I'm trying to compute how those two things work. How do those two things go together? You're professing this, but you're doing this. The life that you're living is a lie. There are a lot of different ways to do that. In fact, that could probably be a whole series of sermons. But let's offer a couple of additional examples. Right now, we're hitting warmer temperatures. And when the weather begins to warm up, for a lot of people, the clothes begin to come off. As we enter into another time where temperatures are getting warmer, we're coming into another period where summer's hopefully going to be here sooner rather than later. Don't live a lie by dressing immodestly. A lot of people never give consideration to that. They would say, well, I'm truthful as I speak with people, but they live a lie based on how they dress. There are some people who say, God has been so good to me. God has blessed me richly. Well, if that's true, don't live a lie and give nothing to God in return. Don't live a lie by saying, I love God. I'm a Christian. I plan on going to heaven. And then our speech, our talk, is just like what we find from people in the world. Don't live a lie by saying, well, I'm a Christian, and I believe in that different kind of life, and then go where Christians should not go. The Christian's words need to match a Christian's deeds or actions. Titus chapter 1 and verse 16 says it this way. They profess that they know God. Again, thinking about 1 John chapter 3, person professes love for God, person professes love for fellow Christians, and they hate that Christian. They profess what is right, but by the works, they deny him. Or applied, as we're looking at it this morning, by the works, they lie. There are so many lies that we can tell. In fact, even on the way in this morning, Teresa commented on my tie. She said, you're wearing a green tie, and then she gave me a reason for it. I thought, boy, I could sure use this. But the reason she gave was wrong. So, put me in a position. On the way to services, am I going to tell her the truth and disappoint her a little bit? No, I did not pick a tie for this reason that was green. Oh, okay. Or tell her a lie. Yes, I did. And look good. Lies. The temptation, it comes up out of the blue sometimes. And it may seem insignificant. It may seem small. But we're hit with these temptations on a regular basis. Maybe that's why in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, we get this warning. And it's a strange warning. God says, but for the fearful, and that's all he says about them. And the unbelieving, a lot of people in that category, but it doesn't say a lot more about them. The abominable and the murderers, really serious sins. But again, he kind of mentions them and continues to move on. The fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and then he comes down to liars. But he doesn't just talk about the liars, he says all liars. How often do you find that description when it comes to various sins in the Bible? All of them. It's not very often. But when it comes to lies, God says all liars. Those little white lies, those lies that are told do not hurt somebody's feelings. The lies which may not be told, but the lies which are lived. God takes a very dim view of lying. We know that because long ago in Proverbs chapter 6, the writer said, there are six things which God hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. What about us? What about our Christian life? How do we view lying? Do we see it as a scale? As long as we're down here, yeah, it's not real truthful, but it's not a lie. We have to go ahead and get further down the scale. That definitely would be a lie. I'm not going to do that, but I can go ahead and be down here and okay. God said all lies are acceptable. Or someone says, well, for me, that's not really an issue. Are we living a lie? Again, that is just as bad. And it is a lie that a lot of people live. God tells his people to be individuals who are associated with the truth. And that truth includes our words and it includes our actions. Now someone says, well, I have a real problem with lying. That is a struggle for me in life. Well, guess what? All sin is a struggle. And it's easy to look at one sin and elevate that above other sin. It's easy to say, oh, you do that. I don't do that. We're all in the same boat. And lying is a boat that is a very difficult path to paddle for a lot of people. If we can help you with that sin this morning, we would like to. If you need to be forgiven of that sin and we can pray for you, we'd like to do that. If it is a matter that is between you and God as far as some lies, clean that up. Bear in mind what God says as far as being a person of truth. And it's probably going to take some time and a lot of effort. But you can decide today, God, I want to be a person of truth. I want to be someone who, when I speak, my words are true, they are right. But most importantly, God, I do not want to live a lie. How sad to go through life and to live a lie and to end up one day before God and know that the Christian faith that we had was really nothing more than a shell and an empty shell at that. If we can help you with lying or in some other way, maybe there's some lies in your life that you are not yet a Christian for and you want to be forgiven of those. The Bible says every single lie can be cleansed, every single one. And the plan is the same for every single person. Faith in Christ. A willingness to say no to the life that you've been living as far as the sins, forsaking those, trying to live for God. Confessing the name of Christ, being baptized. And the Bible says that that act washes away every single sin. Acts 22 and verse 16. That's great news. To be purged from every single lie and every other transgression. If you have not done that, you have a chance to do that now. Or be aided in another way as we stand and sing.